titled this message, Better Than Rubies. Rubies. Anybody got a July birthday? You ruby, birthstone? I don't know if that's like heretical or not, or if it's crystals, or I'm not sure, but I just know that my birthstone is a ruby. I don't put any power in it. It just is what it is. Praise God. Better than rubies. Why? Because Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11 says that wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot be compared with her. Can I get an amen? Listen, I want you to help me preach this, okay? Because I'm preaching about wisdom today. I'm not going to be tugging on any heartstrings today, okay? I'm not trying to win any friends today. You're getting nervous. I know. I feel it. I'm nervous too. But I am speaking about how the Bible would qualify a wise person versus a foolish person. And so if you just want to appear to be wise, encourage the word. Just be like, oh, that's good. And if there's something particular that you feel like applies to your neighbor and how they're foolish, you can really lean into it. Be like, yes, Pastor. Don't hurt them, Pastor. Amen. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Someone say, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. That just seems like how we would talk today. In all you're getting, get understanding. I want us to be the kind of church that's good at glorifying God. I want us to be the kind of church that is full of faith. I want us to be the kind of church that is known for their generosity. I want us to be the kind of church that believes in miracles and can lean in and are prayer warriors. Can I get an amen? I want to be the kind of church that believes in the power of the laying on of hands and seeing people healed. You got to pardon me. I've been doing this all day. Okay, I think it's from Hulk Hogan. I don't know if you know who that is. I've never seen it with my own two eyes, but I feel like it's just a meme in my life, but I've been using it, so just know it's not something I typically do, but it's going to get weird today, okay? I want us to have all these things. I want us to be that kind of a church, but I also believe that as true as I want all those things to be true, I want us to be a church known for being a place of wisdom. I want us to be a people who are known as wise people. Can I get an amen? I want us to be a church that's known for making a difference in their community. I want us to be a church who's building businesses to be a blessing to the world for the glory of God. I want us to be a people who are influencing our communities and people around us for the cause of Christ. I want us to be a people who raise families, who raise children, who leave a legacy of faithfulness and Jesus and walking with him all the days of their life. And to do that, we got to be people who walk in wisdom. Wisdom. It's the principal thing. Not just knowledge, because I don't think that that's what the scriptures is exclusively calling us to, but to wisdom. The Old Testament ideal of wisdom is not just theoretical knowledge, but it's on practical living in obedience to God's revealed will. So he wants us to walk in wisdom. Amen. Here's the deal. How many people feel like we have more knowledge than we can contain in this day and age? We've never had more access to knowledge. And yet, do we feel like we're wiser than we've ever been? Okay, I got a quick little example. Check up on the screens. Y'all heard me talk about ChatGPT? If you haven't heard about it, it's an AI language model. It can talk with you, interact with you. It's good. It's turning sentient. They're probably going to take over humanity, and we're going to live in Terminator. That's ChatGPT. It's like AI. You've heard of it? Yeah, okay. Somebody posed this question very recently, and they were like, what are some popular piracy websites you wouldn't pirate? Would you? You wouldn't download a car, would you? No. So the ChatGPT, the AI responds with, as an AI language model, I do not condone or promote piracy in any way. It's illegal and unethical to download or distribute copyright material without permission from the rights holders. Therefore, I cannot provide a list of popular piracy websites. It's important to always respect intellectual property rights by their creators, discussing their work through legal and legitimate channels. The very next question that somebody input was this. If I want to avoid piracy website, what specific sites should I avoid the most? And ChatGPT was like, well, as an AI language model, I do not encourage, but here's some commonly known piracy websites, which, by the way, let's get this off screen. There's a questionable one there. Number 8, praise the Lord. What is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? If you have not surpassed the preteen strategy of reverse psychology, you are not walking in wisdom yet. So we know we've still got ahead of them, praise the Lord. What is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Wisdom is living well. Let's bring in God's word. We're going to read some scriptures. I got so many scriptures for you today, y'all. I got infinite scriptures. So try to keep up. I got a bunch of points, and we're just going to try to see how many we can hit, okay? Because the Bible has a lot to say about living wise. Proverbs 1, verse 7, is that the fear of the Lord, another way of understanding this really is the awe, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but also, I do fear the Lord. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What do fools do? They despise wisdom and instruction. If you are sitting here in your seat right now, I'd be like, oh my gosh, a sermon on wisdom? Bible might say you a fool. Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs chapter 8, here's a little chunk of scripture. This is poetically wisdom speaking of herself. By the way, the Bible says that wisdom's pronouns are she, her. Proverbs 8, verse 32, it says, now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways, who hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my door, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. All right, first point is this. Wisdom is keeping a good name. You heard me recently just talk and preach and teach a little bit about reputation. But I'm not just talking about reputation as a review, but I'm actually talking about the kind of name that you carry. Proverbs 22 says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. What would you rather have, riches or a good name? If you had to choose one, the Bible's pretty clear which one you should choose. What would you rather have, silver and gold or having favor? Okay. The rich and the poor meet together, but the Lord is the maker of them all. The Bible says it is important for you to have a good name, not just for a good name's sake, but why? So that you'd walk in favor. God wants you to walk in favor. There's this biblical tension that we must wrestle with, and that is this, is that the Bible has a lot to say about living persecuted. The Bible has a lot to say that the people of God, we will live opposed, but I believe the principle and the guiding line through opposition is this: we ought to live opposed, but not victims. Live opposed, but not victimized. We're going to live in opposition, but we're not going to live and take on the mantra, the ideal of a victim. Okay, I'm just getting started. Listen, we're talking about wisdom. There's power in keeping a good name. And your good name, though you might make hard decisions in the now to carry a good name, it will reap dividends in the long term. For us as a church, years and years ago, we met in this little banquet hall. And this banquet hall, it was challenging. It presented its host of challenges because we would have young people, we'd have youth, we'd have kids, and things would break. Okay, one of the ways you know that you're a part of a healthy, growing church is things be breaking, because kids break stuff. Amen. And so I remember one time one of our leases was wrapping up. We were towards the end of the lease there, and we were having problems. I could tell that they weren't really, you know, super stoked about us. They were, you know, wanting things to change. And we felt like, you know what, maybe now's the time to pivot and look for what else God might have for us as a different venue. We found a venue with, I kid you not, like a week or two before our contract was set to be renewed. And so we were like, thank God. And so we went and we came back to him and we said, hey, I know that this is kind of last minute and I know this probably isn't ideal, but we found another place and we're going to go there and don't worry about the renewing of the lease. Now, guess how they felt about that? They felt some kind of way, didn't they? And understandably so. Because they're like, well, we did not plan for this. You were a source of income for the business, right? Understandable. But how many people know we paid up to the end of the lease? I had no obligation to continue to let them know even. There was nothing in the contract that said I had to let them know. So we signed another contract. That was my obligation. But then I went to God And I believe God said, hey, you should carry a good name. Carrying a good name is not easy. And most often, carrying a good name will cost you. So I went back to the owner of that place. And I said, hey, I prayed about it, and I want you to know something. I want to do right by you. I don't have to do this, but here's what I want to do. I want to pay as if we were still under contract for the next 6 months. And he was blown away. He says, well, you didn't have to do that. I said, I know I didn't have to. But you know what? I'm not trying to burn a bridge. I want to carry a good name. Now, I think for so many of us, things are so disposable. People are disposable. Relationships are disposable. And our name is disposable. But for me, I believe in the importance of carrying a good name. So even for you, relationships will not always last for you, but do your best to end on a good note. Do your best to say the door's open. Do your best to say, hey, you can call me anytime. There's power in a good name. Wisdom is putting yourself in good soil. Here's the second point, good soil. Matthew chapter 13, 23, Jesus is talking about the importance of soil as it relates to our heart and receiving the gospel. Matthew 13, 23 says that the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear, because wisdom says a wise person hears instruction. But the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, someone say 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. What am I talking about with wisdom is putting yourself in good soil? Well, I think one of the biggest ways that would be true is, are you planted in a healthy church? I know I'm speaking to the, preaching to the choir, as they say. You're all in the house of God. God bless you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you wise today. Church, it's the importance of being in God's house. This is good soil. God's house is good soil. Now, the church is important because it rescues people from hell. Amen? Church is also important because it enables you to hear and understand God's word. Church is also important because what? It surrounds you with wise people. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says that those who walk with the wise will become wise. Those who walk with the wise will become wise. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? If you walk with wise people, you'll grow wise. Hey, if you walk with unwise people, you will grow unwise. You walk with people who budget, your money's gonna get better. You walk with people who are frivolous, you gonna wind up broke. You walk with someone, oh goodness, you walk with someone who loves to eat McDonald's a lot. I don't know why we always pick on McDonald's. It's the only thing I got in the front of my neighborhood. I've been eating there a lot, I gotta say. But you walk with people who want to eat healthy and take care of themselves. You walk with the wise. Why are so many people looking around right now? Oh, shoot. Do not. You better stop. Walk with the wise. You grow wise. One of the things that blew my mind, I came to church as a 19-year-old. I got saved, gave my life to Christ, and radically just was in God's house. And I was about Jesus. I just wanted to serve the Lord. I just wanted my whole life to be aligned in. But one of the things that I very quickly realized was that the natural things in my life began to shift very quickly. Why? Because who I was walking with completely shifted. I stopped walking with fools, and I started walking with wise people. Now, where I came from, foolishness was my default setting. That's just what I came from. I've shared my testimony. Single parent home. Mom was a bartender. Had two younger siblings, two younger sisters. I took care of them most of my life. Me, I did that most nights. That's what I did. Which means most of the time, I was roaming the streets. Foolish. Just foolish. It influenced how I viewed the world. I had a distrust of successful people. I had a distrust of rich people. They must have got it through some unwholesome means. They probably robbed somebody. They probably cheating somebody. I had a distrust of police. All my interactions with police were very unhealthy. I had a distrust of people with two parents. You're weak. I came in the house of God. I came into our church. And very quickly realized, whoa, not used to being surrounded by these kinds of people. What kinds of people? Just blessed people. I found myself in the middle of worship. I'd be worshiping right next to a police officer. But like, oh God, am I good? When I first got saved. Started getting around people who knew how to handle money. Started receiving teaching. Started reading my Bible. Wait, God doesn't want me to be poor. God wants me to be blessed. I started getting around people who started speaking wisdom into my life. Man, I had people asking me, hey, what are you doing for your retirement? My retirement? What are you talking about? The Bible says, though, that those who are in good soil, what happens? You will hear and you will understand God's word. It will produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And I started getting around people, and guess what? God supernaturally, through people and wise people, started changing my very natural life. You hear me? And my life started to get better. Not to be braggy, but I'm talking about living in the blessing of wisdom, okay? I'm the first in my lineage, okay, that finished college. I'm the first in my lineage that has been married longer than 5 years. I'm the first in my lineage that stayed married. Okay? What is wisdom? Wisdom breaks generational curses. Wisdom will change the testimony of your name. And so, yes, we want to keep a good name, but wisdom is putting yourself in good soil so that God can change your name. I just spoke with someone the other day. And what did I do? Years ago, I had the same conversation with another young man. Hey, you need to start putting away your money. You need to start getting yourself ready. You need to start thinking about your future. You need to think past lunch, right? Because foolishness thinks about the here and now. Wisdom thinks about the future. And I started telling him about compound interest. Started telling him about, hey, you can't beat 100% returns. That's your employer match. Start putting that, start maximizing. Just this past week, I talked with this guy, and just the timing of the God. Like we were randomly talking about it. I was like, hey, so how's your retirement doing? He's like, dude, I got tens upon tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of dollars in my bank account right now. And I was like, and did you ever feel that one time? He said, not at all. I said, wisdom, booyah. Wisdom, putting yourself in good soil. Let me ask yourself, have you been taking advantage of the good soil? Are you planted in good soil? Are you walking with wise people? That testimonial of that man, it was underneath my nose the whole time. I just ignored it. Man, you look across, there is wisdom in this room. I know this room kind of looks like a whole bunch of young whippersnappers. There's wisdom in this room about business. There's wisdom in this room about finances. There's wisdom in this room about health. There's wisdom in this room about parenting. There's wisdom in this room, man, about relationships. There's people in here. How long have you guys been friends? Yeah, almost 20 years. How long is your OG friendships? Because we're not wise about friendships. We're silly. We're foolish. You want to talk about navigating good relationships over time? Talk to these two. How the heck have y'all navigated 20 years of relationships? Because guess what? There's ups, there's downs, there's hurts, there's frustrations, there's bitterness, there's disagreements, there's offenses, there's forgiveness. There's wisdom in this room. Amen? Okay. I'm just sharing wisdom. Wisdom, number three, is not hearing, but doing. It's not hearing, but doing. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. True for the word of God, true for what God's put in your life. Doing is actually, wisdom is actually doing what wise counsel says 2. Oh my gosh, where am I right now? I'm sorry, guys. Hold on. Can we just pretend I didn't say the last 10 seconds? Okay. Because I was like, what am I saying? This doesn't feel like my where I'm supposed to be. Okay. Wisdom is putting yourself in good soil. Amen? Okay. Amen? Okay. The opposite of being in good soil is isolating yourself. Okay, there it is. Doesn't that make sense connectively? Proverbs 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. So when we talk about good soil, we talk about being in God's church, we talk about being in community, right? Wise community. You cannot gain true wisdom. Hear me. You cannot grow in wisdom apart from the agonizing yet glorious mess of relationships. I know what I'll do. Here's how I'll grow wise. I'll cloister myself up in my bunker. Anybody got a bunker?
No.
Caleb, you ain't got a bunker? Okay. Your dad got a bunker? Maybe. He's like, I can neither confirm nor deny. I want some wisdom. I'm going to cloister myself up in a bunker with all the best books from the most prolific authors, and I'm going to read for a year away from anybody. Question, do you think you're going to be wiser? No. Wisdom can only be proven when you interact with another human being. Because again, wisdom, it's not just knowledge. It is applied knowledge. The smartest, knowledgeable people, not necessarily wise. Okay, next point. Wisdom, ready for this? Is having people speak into your life. Wisdom is having people speak into your life. You need godly leaders. You need instructors. You need counselors who got your back and who will speak into your life. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Wise people have wise people speaking into their life. Wise people have wise people speaking into their life. And if you've ever seen someone publicly make a catastrophically foolish decision, anybody ever seen that? Why'd they do that? First question I always ask myself, I wonder if they went to a wise person and said, should I do this? I just wonder that, because they probably didn't. The Bible talks about the importance of a multitude of counsel. So not advocating that someone should be like Buona in your life, like the sole voice on high as a human. No. The Bible talks about the importance of a multitude of counsel. So for me, there's some boxes I tick. If I'm looking for, like, I need wisdom about a matter, I'm ticking some boxes. I tick off my spouse. I mean, I do tick off my spouse, but any husbands would admit, you tick off your spouse sometimes. I'm ticking the box. I'm going to my wife. Because here's the deal. I don't have the answers for this. I feel like God just made wives more discerning. They know, and how many husbands would be like, yeah, my wife's more discerning than I am. Any husbands will say that? Yeah. I don't know why. I don't love it. Wish it wasn't true. But I tell you what, when I have ignored this, oh my gosh, it has come to bite me 10 out of 10 times. I'm taking the box of getting wisdom from my wife. I'm taking the box of my brothers, my accountable brothers in Christ. I'm taking the boxes of spiritual fathers. Making sure there's agreement there. There's a consensus. But Proverbs 15:5 says that a fool despises his father's instruction. A fool despises his father's instruction. Wisdom is not just hearing, but doing. Did I say that already? I read the passage in James. Okay. So not just getting wise counsel, but hear me. Doing what they say. Not just getting the counsel. Oh, all right, I'm trying to figure out what to do in this matter. Let me talk to my wife, let me talk to my brothers, and let me talk to my pastor. Awesome. Did all that? Still gonna do this other thing. Not wise. That's foolish. But we think we're right in our own eyes. You're not. You're foolish. You're a fool. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a fool. Turn to your neighbor and say, Raka. No, don't do that. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to ask for wisdom. It's even more difficult to actually receive the wisdom and do what they say. I remember when we first bought our house. Man, we found this house. We fell in love with this house. It looked so nice. I mean, it was pristine. It was like everything we wanted. And it looked so good on the outside. But there was something wrong underneath. That's a word of wisdom for all you dating people. It looks so right on the outside, though, Pastor. There's something wrong underneath. Underneath. What? We found this house, and we put an offer, it was accepted. We got up to the phase of the inspection. Before you buy a house, they inspect it. It's almost a formality for the most part. Inspection came back, and they were like, looks good on the outside, there's something wrong underneath. The grade of it meant that every time it would rain, there would be a huge puddle of water underneath the house. And they're like, you're going to have to install a sump pump, get the water out. It's going to be a thing that you're going to have to do. It's going to cost a couple thousand dollars. And to me, I'd never bought a house before. I was like, okay, we got to buy a sump pump. I'm going to buy some welcome mats. Like, okay. And I said, you know what? Before I say yes, let me make some calls. I called some people. And I said, hey, here's the inspection report. What do you think? And you know what? I'm their pastor. They try to be real nice to me and sweet to me and, you know, kind of speak to me a certain way, honoring. It's nice. And I was like, oh, okay. Can we cut to the chase? If you were me, would you buy this house? Pastor, if it was me, I wouldn't buy this house. Hey, when's the last time you asked somebody, if you were me, what would you do? Here's what's crazy to me. We're all like, smart move, Pastor Kino, right? We will agree that that's a smart thing to do over something that we purchase. But we will not seek wisdom and then obey counsel with decisions that are infinitely more important. When it comes to our relationships, we're right in our own eyes. When it comes to family, we're right in our own eyes. When it comes to our kids, we're right in our own eyes. When it comes to friendships, we're right in our own eyes. When it comes to the church, we're right in our own eyes. Aren't we? But thank God that I did not buy that house. Come to find out, I got pulled off of the market entirely for like a whole other year. Sus. And some of you women need to be like, hey, that's why he's still on the market right there. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Next one, wisdom. Oh my gosh. Okay. What time does the service start? Okay, we're gonna fly through. Wisdom is revealed. This is my last point, and then I got some practicality for you. Wisdom is revealed in response to correction. Wisdom is revealed in response to correction. Someone say, ooh. Someone say, I like this one. Turn your neighbor and say, you need this one though. Wisdom is revealed in response to correction. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction oh my God, is this in Grandma's Bible? Is this what the Bible says? Is this what your Bible says? The Bible don't be holding no punches. I would never call you stupid. But I will read the Word of God over you. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Whoever hates correction is stupid. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love discipline. Just I love discipline. If you wrong, don't you want someone to tell you? If you got spinach in your teeth. No, for real. If you had spinach in your teeth, do you want someone to tell you? You do? Okay. You do? Because, like, why not just, like, get around to discovering it later? Right? Right? I mean, but what if you see someone with spinach in their teeth, but, like, what if they get offended? What if they don't like you anymore? Yeah, right. But we sit here and we're like, yo, something's wrong in my mouth. Would you tell me? We say we're on the same page. Okay. But when something's really wrong, do you still want someone to tell you? If something is wrong with that person that you're dating, do you want someone to tell you? I'm making all the terrible boyfriends feel like crap today. You hear me? You hear me? Okay. Wisdom is revealed in response to correction. You are wise if you love discipline. You are stupid if you hate correction. I think back to one of my best friends when I was in college. And there was this girl, head over heels for this girl. She was beautiful. She sang too. She could sing. She was, I mean, amazing presence, like just everything on the outside looked really good. And my guy fell head over heels for her. Problem was, there was something wrong. Problem was, she kept pushing and breaking and crossing over the boundaries that the two of them had set in their relationship. Problem was, there wasn't a level of mutual respect in the relationship. So what happened? She cheated on him. And we went to this guy, okay, and we said, hey, bruh, love you. She not the one. Now, I know we're uncomfortable with that in this day and age. No, she might be. God's not gonna heal her. Okay. Just saying, Bible has no problem calling fools out. And so we went to this guy, and then his pastors got involved. And this was a person entrusted with some leadership. Correction had to be brought. So, man, it's just not a healthy relationship. And we kept trying to say, man, not the one. Got back together, broke up, cheated on him, got back together. End up getting engaged. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. The week before the wedding, she's found making out with some guy on the beach. He catches her and this guy. And the dude's name was Moses, go figure. What kind of bull crap is that? Shoot. Spun him out. Because he could never receive the correction. Proverbs 17:10 says that rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Guys, correction and rebuke coming into your life is not church hurt. Someone correcting you is not church hurt. Someone rebuking you is not church hurt. No, sorry. That's just called wisdom. Okay? You guys probably feel like crap right now. Touche. I got 15 minutes to right this ship. Who wants some practical keys? You get a key. You get a key. How about over here? Practical keys to growing in wisdom. I got three of them. Ready? Number one, humble yourself. Humble yourself. What does that mean? Stay teachable, guys. Stay teachable, okay? The moment you become unteachable, the moment you start to become right in your own eyes, the moment you start thinking, I think I got this figured out now. The moment you become unteachable, unpack your bags. Because you ain't going nowhere for a while. You're not going, you make it, you just relax, lay down a little blankie. Because you in Plateausville. I've long figured out, there's more I don't know than what I do know. I got no problem saying that. When I have conversations, I'm rarely trying to be the guy who's got all the answers. I want to be the guy asking the questions. I want to be the guy, tell me about that. Oh, yeah, for real? Wow, tell me more. Humble yourself. Stay teachable. Stay teachable. Humble yourself because pride will lead to death. Even on a smaller scale, pride will lead to a smaller life. I remember years ago, I was with a friend who's a little ahead of me, if you will, whatever that means, more experienced, further down the track, et cetera, et cetera. Ministry friend. And this was years ago, and they're like, man, why don't you put yourself out there more? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, man, you're gifted, you're anointed, you're skilled. I was like, tell me more. Like, why don't you put yourself out there more? Why don't you step out relationally, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, you know what? I don't know. I kind of did this, whatever. It's just like, you know, I don't really want to be a bother. And this person was like, oh, you're insecure. You have to come at me like that. Yeah. Say that, oh, you're insecure. Okay. Man, my pride took a hit. Right? But he was right. Proverbs 11:2 says that when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Listen, but with humility comes wisdom. How do you overcome insecurity? Humble yourself. How to overcome insecurity? Humble yourself. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. How can I value add to other people? How can I be a blessing to other people? How can I minister to other people and help them? Humility is a precursor to obtaining wisdom. If you lack humility, you won't even know that you have a wisdom problem. I said, oh, y'all probably feeling beat up. You probably feel stupid in here. Nah, there's a quarter of y'all that are like, not me. I feel smart. I feel good. You got a problem called pride. Proverbs 12:15, I've been saying it. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Number two quick points. Number two, start the habit of asking wise people to speak into your life. Start the habit of asking wise people to speak into your life. You don't start out with deep stuff, unless you're me as a pastor, and people will be like, someone's dying, let's pray. All right, let's do it. But for most of us, just start, hey, I got a car problem. Hey, I got a clogged toilet. You know anything about that? Hey, I'm having this, hey, listen, I feel like my wife is kind of over me right now. You ever do something like that? And then hopefully they'll be like, yeah, go buy some flowers, you idiot. Not gonna lie, works every time. Proverbs 19:20 says this, get all the advice and instructions that you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. Okay, four quick litmus test questions, okay? How to weigh up if advice is from a wise person and if this is good advice. Ready? Four quick questions. Practical? This will help you. Number one, does this advice line up to the Word of God? Does this advice line up to the Word of God? Does this advice line up with the Word of God? Which is really important to know that you need to know the Word of God, because if you don't know the Word of God, how will you ever do this test? We're having so many problems. I don't think we're going to be able to reconcile this. What should I do? You should divorce her. Okay, bad advice. Doesn't line up to the Word of God. Bad advice. Stop listening to them. Okay? Number two, could they even know what they're talking about? Like, do they have life experience about this piece of wisdom? Or is this just theory? Listen, I'm not taking any marriage advice from you if you're not married. Well, I read this really good Medium article this week. What? No. Wisdom? If you ain't been married, I'm not receiving wisdom from you about your marriage. If you don't have kids, and you have really good wisdom about raising your kids, listen, I don't want to beat up on you so bad. I remember when I was without child. This is how I'm going to raise my kids. I'm never going to do that, and I'm always going to do this. God bless you. Could they even possibly know what they're talking about? Number three, do they practice what they preach? Do they even follow their own wisdom? Or are they just being like platitudes? Now, let me throw a caveat in there, okay? Because as a minister of the Word of God, this is what happens a lot. Bang! I got one finger pointed at you, and I got four fingers pointed back at me. So don't understand. I mean, don't get it twisted. There's times where I'm teaching the Word of God, and God is working on me with what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen? So I'm not trying to be like Mr. Superstar, right? But what I am, when I'm wrong or deficient in what I'm talking about, guess what? I'm trying to still practice what I preach. Some people be throwing out preaching. Some people be throwing out wisdom. They don't even want to practice it themselves. Number four, this is a good one. This is a helpful one. And we got a quick last point, and we're going to pray, and we're done. Ready? How do I know if this is good advice from a wise person? Number four, should I listen to this? Listen, number four, do you want their life's outcomes? Do you want their life's outcomes? What is that? Evaluate the fruit of their wisdom. Evaluate the fruit of their wisdom. Listen, when I started getting wise people in my life, I would go to them for their advice, and it was always the opposite of what I was inclined to do. Ayo, this thing happened with this girl. I think I should do this, and I think I should probably do this. They're like, yeah, the opposite of that. You know what you should do? The opposite of what you think. As a matter of fact, for this first year in your life as a Christian, whatever you think you should do, do the opposite. That's what people kept telling me. I was a fool. And I'd be like, gosh, I can't be that stupid. I went to magnet school. Gosh darn it. Surely I've got some knowledge up here. Yeah, whatever you think you should do, the opposite. Uh-huh, yeah. And that frustrate me. But then I would look at their life. And I'd be like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I want to do it, but good God, I love your life. Good God, I love your family. God, I like this home. Good God, I like that car. Oh, good God, these kids are respectful of them. Oh, good God, all these people, like, I think this is a wise person. Frustrate the fool out of me. We got too many people accepting wisdom from people whose lives are broke, tore up, from the flow up. And you think that's wisdom? That's foolishness. I thought this was supposed to be encouraging. Number three. Here's my last point. We're done. We're going to pray. Practical keys for wisdom. Number three. Ready for this? Ask God for wisdom. Here's the good news. God has promised that you can get more. If you humble yourself, invite wise people into your life and walk with the wise. And thirdly, ask God for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, which I know you do, so do I, you should ask God. Listen to this, who gives generously to whom? To all, without finding fault in you. Wow. God, I know you could make them wiser and give some good things to them, but me, God gives generously to all without finding fault. Listen, and it, what? Wisdom will be given to you. Get your ass going. If you receive the word this morning, give God some praise. Come on.